you've got the foreign secretary talking about climate change. It's like there's a war in Ukraine where entire generations of people are being massacred and murdered, and you're just going, can we send some more Spitfire missiles or something? It's like, no, stop the war, stop the murder, stop the killing. Don't sit on your fat little ass and talk about how we can make, you know, more Ukrainian people die so that we can money launder all of our old weapons. I'm so sick of it. And then you've got Yvette Cooper talking about rights, health care. And I'm just like, fuck off, Yvette Cooper. Actually, and then no Ofcom investigation into Yvette Cooper being interviewed by her husband. You know, none of it. And, you know, you have always expressed this in a much more less frustrated way than I do, that, you know, the UK just doesn't have any fight in it. And then this one thing that we believed in, well, I didn't at all, that the one thing that the most huge portion of the public believed in was there needed to be change in the Uni Party, and they voted in a dictator, essentially, benign or not.
Well, it's all coming out, right? So I suppose it's all being bleached in the daylight, and hopefully enough people are waking up to the fact that all this horrible stuff does go on. And it's not just in showbiz, this is British politics as well, you know. Dr. No is at the head of the Conservative Party and has been at the head of the UK government for the last 14 years, has all these sex orgy parties or whatever in order to recall people and have power over them, to compromise them. Like, it goes on in all the power structures. So we need to be aware of it, and we need to hold these people to account.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Fox and Father with me, the Fox, and him.
The Father.
He's run away, far, far away. He's still growing a beard.
I am.
How are you, Calves?
I've just had it trimmed. It looks a bit better now. I think you called me a jihad yesterday or something like that. You said I look old as well. So.
Well, you've got grey in your beard.
I do, yeah.
I'm starting to get my first bits of grey in my chin. What I like
did
to
you
call
just go grey?
Did you just call me ginger? You're such a knob. I like to call this my Chernobyl beard. Yeah. It's like I sort of got radioactive and it didn't grow and develop properly, but I've stuck with it over the years because I hate shaving. Anyway, before we kick off, there's lots to talk about this week. How the devil are you, old bean?
I'm so good. I'm great. I joined a gym that is just across the road from my church. I thought, this is handy. I can just walk across there. And there's not, as you know, there's not much walking in America, but this is somewhere I can actually walk to. And then I get there, and I post on my Instagram, as I always do, Aura et Labora, you know, work hard, pray hard, and all that kind of stuff. And I've got all these messages in. Like, the stuff looks purple. That's not Planet Fitness, is it? I'm like, yeah, it's Planet Fitness. Why? Apparently, Planet Fitness is a woke gym. It's like, before you go anywhere these days, you have to do research into finding out what their values are. I'm like, can't they just offer a service without having politics?
Why is that, do you think? As an issue, why do you think companies like... I never understand things like Taylor Swift going vote Democrat. No. Because she will have a bunch of redneck fans red states who, well, I'm sure she does. You know, young girls aren't political. But the minute she turns around and goes, I'm endorsing Kamala Harris, their parents must go, when they put it on in the car, they must go, I'm not listening to that drivel.
No, exactly.
That darn rubbish.
Just keep producing your rubbish music. You don't need to sell politics with it as well. Her music is rubbish. Her music is... it's abysmal. It's horrible. Anyway.
I'm not listening to any of your carry on.
Planet Fitness apparently let men who identify as women in the women's changing rooms.
It's
outrageous. So lots of people are boycotting it, apparently. But the plus side is, if the men's changing room's full, there's always an extra changing room. So, you know.
Are you trying to tell me that you don't believe that men who identify as women should be able to change in women's changing rooms? Because that's...
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to tell you. Men should be in men's changing rooms. Women should be in women's changing rooms. Keep women's spaces for women. Keep men's spaces for men. Oh, my goodness.
The whole point of this podcast is to have me help make you progressive. But with lines like that, like biological sex, you're next going to be telling me that biological sex is real.
Okay.
Charlie?
Biological sex is real. We don't get signed... We don't get assigned a sex at birth. We happen to be born a sex. Well, actually, we have a sex before we're born.
We do.
Thanks to God, stamping it in our DNA.
Thank you, God, for all of those things. And thank you, God, for making the path that you put Christian on, which is essentially the path of, you know, this fundamental message of the fact that Christians believe that people are born, human beings are fallen, is about the most difficult road you can walk.
Well,
because it's so easy sitting there going, everyone's just really lovely, except Christians.
Well, so I've already paid up front for this membership, so I'm going to go there, but I'm going to be on evangelism mode. And
yes.
If I see any man try to go into a woman's changing room, I will call them out on it.
With your, and also, for those people that haven't met Kelvin in the flesh, he's no tiny little scrawny person. He's about 26 feet tall, and you wouldn't want to mess with him, which is why I'm always very polite and respectful to you at all times.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Hick, don't do the laugh. Don't do the laugh.
How are you?
I'm all right. I'm fine. I went down to London. I feel like I needed a shower when I got home.
Yeah.
But no, on the plus level, I was like, you've been to the house and you saw the wire fence. So I was like, I'm going to do something with my hands. So I started to replace the wire fence.
Right.
My goodness. A, the materials that I've wasted doing it is a large number.
Yeah.
And B, the hours in labor. And look at the heel of my hand.
But the next time you have to build a fence, you'll be much better at it, right?
This is true. And also, I cannot tell you how good it is for your mind.
Oh, yeah.
To be out there. And the weather has been incredible. Still is incredible, but apparently it's good. This is the last hurrah for us this week. So I did that at the beginning of the week. And then I went down to London to do a few meetings yesterday. I've just been sort of watching things progressing with our, you know, with this 26th of October thing.
Yes.
I don't think Tommy would mind me saying this because I want to get on to Farage really. But I got sent a really, I was just saying, guys, we've got to have we can't just hold rallies for no reason. You know, you were there, you're in the meeting. And, you know, it's like you got to give people something to hold on to. And it's difficult when you're in large groups like that. Anyway, Tommy then sent me a message saying, I'm really sorry I haven't been in the group for the last few days. I've just been contemplating my future. And it was really heartbreaking because people have been talking to me about, you know, how much courage Nigel Farage has and how much courage everyone has. And I listened to this message of a guy who's looking at a 4-year stretch. And the thing that really hurt me on his behalf was he was talking about his mum and his dad first and saying, you know, then they're not young, you know, and then he goes, it's definitely a year at least of solitary, and a day feels like a week, and a week feels like a month, and a month feels like a year. And you're just going, when all these people, I mean, I as you know, I'm allergic to WhatsApp groups, so I don't really like to participate in them. But I'm in one WhatsApp group called Loz Can't Leave. And other than the specific work groups.
Yeah.
And people go on about how courageous Farage is. So I thought, you know what? And I just sent into the group, I sent this message from Tommy. And I said, that's what courage is. Like, you may not like the man. You may understand that the world has completely decided to turn its back on him.
Yeah.
But that is courage. Like, if I needed to define courage, it's a very easy way of doing it, to go, despite it all, I will not stop.
No, I agree. I also messaged him last night because I was quite worried about his mental health and where he must be with all of this spiritually. And he got back and said something similar. You know, he's considering, is he going to spend 2 years in jail or 4 years? And how is it going to work? And how is it going to affect him? And all this, like, he's genuinely putting his livelihood on the line because he's going to come back and help fight. And people like Farage don't have to make that decision because they've chosen to instead distance themselves from ordinary folk and become part of the establishment. Like, I support Tommy Robinson 100%. I support Nigel Farage maybe 5%. You know,
wow.
There's a realness in Tommy that is not there in Farage. And we've seen a lot of that this week, haven't we?
We have. Charlie Sampson made a good point, which is that Tommy Robinson has people's support and Nigel Farage has people's votes. And I thought that was quite a good point. But on to Nigel.
Right.
Yesterday, when I went into London, I went in. I bumped into Ben Habib, who I bump into regularly in London, and we spent a good amount of time talking. He said, "I'm going to, I've been promised this reform constitution, which is the democratization of the party and all of this stuff." And for those people who don't know, Ben Habib was the deputy leader of Reform UK, and then has been,
Ousted.
in ungraciously ousted as well. And Zia Yusuf, this man who's appeared from nowhere, and to use your favorite term, a Mohammedan,
It's just a rich man.
Zia Yusuf has made a promise to Chris Fabe on GB News that the democratization of the party would take place, so that Reform would no longer be a party of paid subscribers with no voice, and that they would have a mechanism whereby they can and cannot, where they can get rid of a leader, or they can replace, select, deselect, whatever, a leader, which is what any political, real political party, of which they are, because they got 4.1 million votes. And Ben Habib told me, I'm reading the Constitution, and I'm going to make some comments about this. And he made a 7.5 minute video this morning, which I recommend everyone watch. We'll get blessing. Can we please put that in the show notes, so people can hear it from Ben Habib's mouth? So Zia Yusuf says to Christopher Hope on GB News, he says, "We have the finest legal minds in the land working day and night to create a constitution which is going to define and make Reform the party to take on Labour, the party of government in 2029. Ben Habib was scathing about it. And as you know, I know, he's not a stupid person. Whatever you think about him, he's not thick. He's a smart guy. He's been very, very successful in life. And, he's a straight shooter. He called himself a rabid ideologue to me on the phone today. But, there you go. White supremacists come in all colours, apparently. And he said, this is dreadful. The Reform Constitution says, Reform being a limited company, by the way, as well as a registered political party, but it's a limited company which operates on a set of shares. And the only way they can replace a leader at Reform is if 50% of the membership, which isn't a membership, and also who's going to tell you who's a member or who's not a member? I mean, who's in charge of the data on all this sort of stuff? It's very, very complex issues. If 50% of the membership votes, put up a vote of no confidence, then it will go up to the board, which is selected by Nigel and his chums, right? So there's no way that Nigel Farage can reasonably be ousted from the leadership of Reform.
And this is his ultimate nightmare. This is his paranoia. He has to have ultimate control. This is why he selected the board. This is why he's put the board in control, not the membership. He's not making it a membership party, a political party. It will still be a company he controls because he has to be at the head of it when he wants to be at the head of it. As soon as he's done with it, he's bored with it, he'll throw that toy away and play with something else, right? But then he will expect to come back when he wants to come back. It's a great shame that this is happening because Reform could potentially have some impact on British politics if it becomes a political party. It's not. You quite rightly called it out as a pyramid scheme back in the day because people pay their money in, they think they're getting membership, but they're not. They're not members. They have no say. There's no democratic right. They don't get to vote on anything or choose a leader. All they're doing is paying the shareholders. Nigel Farage happens to be the majority shareholder. All they're doing is giving money to Farage, really.
Which then takes us down a pretty tricky road, if I'm honest. Now, you and I, unpopular people that we are, because we actually say what we think, and we're not seeking power or glory as a result of it, as far as I've noticed in all the years that we've known each other. We have said that Reform, we said back in the day, we said we didn't think Reform was a great idea. That if Reform was anything, it should be there to put so much pressure on the Conservatives that they became Conservative instead of doing what they have done, which is now, in my view, they've guaranteed Keir Starmer 2 terms to the point where I'm now thinking of getting out of this country. The thought of living in a socialist Britain for more than 1 term is enough to make me start thinking,
Life's too
Alabama looks
short.
nice. Life's too short. But it takes us down a difficult road. And the difficult road it takes us down is the fact that what Nigel has done in all of the things that since he's got into parliament is roll back on everything that he was representative of, primarily the uncontrolled immigration into this country, rapid demographic change, complete cultural collapse, and all of that sort of stuff. So people voted in reform as a not a radical alternative, but as an alternative to someone who would deal with the immigration crisis, and they come up with a one in one out policy.
It's
Now,
rubbish.
but I think,
Just look at it for a
sorry, you were
minute.
going.
In the UKIP, Brexit Party, reform, his entire political career has been about immigration. He gets elected finally after 20 odd years. And what does he do? He rolls back on his stance on immigration.
Why
And
is
the
that?
moment he's a part of the establishment, he undoes all the stuff that he's been doing. Why? I don't know why. But all I know is that he likes the members' clubs that he's a part of. He likes being in with the Tories and the elite. He likes being in the establishment. He likes being in the Houses of Parliament. Lots of stuff that he likes. But he also likes to be liked. He likes to be invited on Newsnight and Question Time. He likes to be on Channel 4 and BBC. He likes to skirt that very thin line of being respectable whilst being on the right of politics. But this week, he's had so much backlash from the right of politics after his interview with the fantastic Steve Edgington, where Steve did what people on the right do, hold each other to account, not like the left who don't even bother with their interviews, just give them a free ride. Steve said, does it bother you that England is no longer predominantly white? Farage's like, no, not really. Steve's like, are we going to have mass deportations if you ever become prime minister? Farage's like, no, it's impossible. Like every question, Farage was like batting them away like a liberal, and it was embarrassing.
It sort of makes no reason for him to exist
Indeed. What's the point?
as a political figure. And I think both you and I think this is why we were right, which is we talked probably in January this year, maybe before, and you were saying, I think you were saying, well, I might have reimagined it to make myself feel better. But you were sort of saying, when we first started talking, I wanted you to be less radical. And now I've become as radical as you are, because I sort of think, cut all the crap away. What is the problem that we're facing? We're facing, I was watching a video this morning of Lebanon. And, and what it was a predominantly Christian country. It was very free. It was very prosperous. It was, I'm not an expert on Lebanon, so no one please hold me to account on my understanding of Lebanon. But it certainly wasn't what it is now. And it's remarkable how this ideology destroys nations. And we're sitting there and we're watching it happen. And the political party that 4.1 million people voted for have decided they're not going to deal with the issue
Well, he's
at
using
all.
now, Farage is using the exact same language as Robert Jenrick, the potential next leader of the Conservative Party, when he's sectarian, religious voters, and just say Islamists, say Mohammedans, say Muslims if you need to, but say what they are. Call a spade, stop skirting around it like a politician. It's
Okay, but
ridiculous.
I've got to push you back on that one.
Go on.
Are there, I imagine what he's doing is he's trying to be canny. And he's saying to himself and to possibly his chairman, look, there are a load of secular Muslims in the UK. They're not extremists. They're quite socially conservative. We may get their vote. But all of my experience of speaking to the people that I do speak to about Islam and all this sort of stuff, and Islamism, which is a slightly different ball game, but you would go further to say that Islam itself is a major issue, is that whether you like it or not, the religion, the direction of travel for the religion is done through fear and control and power and death and murder and all these sorts of stuff. You don't spread it. You spread it in the sort of Spanish Inquisition type way. You don't do it in a come and join us. We're the fun free people, and those people are very much frightened, and they follow crowds. So, what is the point of Reform UK?
Nothing,
That's
because
what.
people want. I mean, people wanted to say, well, they all wanted to say the same thing. So the far left wanted to say something because they wanted to paint him as far right. And the right of politics wanted to say something because they know it to be true, and they want someone to speak the truth. I think what most of us want him to say is, look, this is what I would say. I'm never going to become prime minister, but if I was to become prime minister, I would deport every single foreign criminal. If you are not a British national and you've committed a crime, you're gone instantly. Anyone that is on the terror list, gone. You know, if you're suspected of being an extremist, Muslim extremist, gone. If you are convicted of a crime abroad in Islamist extremism and you're over here, gone. You know, that chap who was in jail in
It's not
Kuwait.
hard. It's not
No,
hard, is
it's not
it?
hard. Mass deportations done. Stop immigration straight away, a moratorium on immigration, no more legal or illegal immigration until things are resolved. Police the borders properly. I mean, you know me, I'd be up for gunboats in the river, in the sea. But if we can't have gunboats, there's got to be some approach, like get Callum Smiles out there in France. We're going to say we've got to stop people coming over illegally, and then we can look at the legal situation and say, okay, if we have people with skills and talents that we genuinely need from the Commonwealth nations and or Kanzuk, you know, there we can look at it. But let's stop keeping the floodgates open. And that's all I want my Prime Minister to say on immigration. It's quite simple.
It's
And
so
yes,
you're.
England is a predominantly white country, a predominantly Christian country, has always been, and it should always be predominantly white and predominantly Christian. That's not racist, it's not xenophobic, it's not Islamophobic or any other ick or ism. It's just the truth.
Yeah, well, but it's seemingly not, because there's not a single piece of political representation for people who think that very mainstream thought, which is one of the most important electoral promises made in every single election, and then it's just denied. So it makes one feel very depressed, because this is where my rabbit hole begins, which I wish it didn't. You have a country. There is, in my view, there is a concerted effort to destroy everything the West ever created, everything. And the reason why they want to destroy it is because they hate Christ, really, fundamentally, because it was based and built around the values that Jesus Christ brought to the earth, you know, and long before. But it's like, so if that's a very powerful force, what scraps from the table do you give the disenfranchised? You give them reform. Now, as you know, I've spoken to Richard Tice before Farage decided to throw, I think, one move too many into his political career, if I'm honest. I spoke to Richard Tice and said, we all need to work together, all of us. Because unless we work together, they win. They all work together, and we're in real trouble if we don't work together. And Farage has got a do not associate with list. His membership selection is done by hope, not hate. So he's not a free speech person. And he's rolling back on immigration. So we now have a centrist type party that doesn't really believe in anything. We've got a centre-left Conservative Party, and then we've got an extreme hard-left Socialist Labour Party. And those are the political choices that we have. And for
But once
some
again,
reason,
there's no democratic means to change things in the United Kingdom.
no political solution to a cultural problem.
No.
There isn't. So the rabbit hole I've gone down is, who pays Farage over £1 million a year?
GB News.
Which is owned by,
Legatum and Savill Marshall.
which is buying
Spectator.
and trying to buy
The Telegraph. What are
every
you suggesting,
single.
Lawrence?
I'm suggesting that we are witnessing a coup on the right, not just a coup on the left, which is that the right are trying to cancel the right. The so-called right, trying to cancel the right.
Going
I, if
to
I,
push back on this a bit. What if the right are trying to bring people to the right? So what if Savill Marshall and Legatum, those types, are saying, look, there is no one that represents Christian values in this country. The mainstream media has been captured by liberalism and modernity, hence the devil. How do we bring some of that back to Christ? What if that's the approach? What if that's the reason?
Well, okay, I will. My response would be, Jesus Christ was sent to the earth to die for our sins. He wasn't sent to the earth to negotiate with Pilate. He wasn't sent to go, okay, let's have a chat about these Christian values. Tell you what, let's not like sell stuff at the temple. But just have a couple of pride flags. Like, it's not a compromising position. It's not, it, you can't negotiate faith. It's not a thing you can negotiate with. So I would say that anyone who is not, like, you can tell a Christian, like you did a long thread about this yesterday, over abortion, but which we'll get onto as well. It's like you can't have, it's impossible, annoyingly, actually, for me, because I really does annoy me, that you it's impossible to have a compromised position on abortion, even though most people do. Most people have a position like, well, it's kind of settled for a while, and then we can sort of like, and then we've got a bit of a heartbeat, and but the overwhelming proportion of the population, because this stuff has been so normalized, believe that it's okay first trimester, see you later, can't survive outside the womb, see you later. But actually, that is, again, it's just another example of the decadent and leisured and ossified West, is that we don't have values anymore that I can notice. Like, so over abortion, and it's really fascinating. I can tell immediately whether someone's had an abortion whenever I have a conversation with them about abortion, because those that adopt that go immediately into this. This is the other thing that's got me, is the abuse of language, the unbelievable abuse of language to refer to abortion as healthcare. And if they say it relentlessly, whose health are you caring for?
Exactly.
Whose? Help me understand. Well, it's the mother's healthcare. What sort of health? Well, it could be her physical health, could be her mental health. What if she was raped? Oh, so you're going to use the outlier to as the exemplifier, which is absolute bullshit,
What
and
other
I'm sick of
healthcare
it.
procedure kills 50% of its patients?
Exactly. 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 It's
But
not healthcare. It's
no,
murder.
the thread I put up yesterday was, I mean, I get lots of messages about abortion all the time, but one particular message really riled me up yesterday. A supporter, someone who considers themselves an ally, said, "Don't come to America and tell Americans what to do. Don't start telling women what to do." She said, "Use your platform for free speech. Highlight free speech. Do not speak. Do not tell women what to do. You are a man." And I said, "What are you referring to?" And she said, "You're talking about abortion." I was like, "Okay, interesting." Because all my tweets about abortion have been, firstly, about the UK law, a case that's going on as we record right now in the courts. A chap called Adam, who's fighting because he was arrested for praying silently in his own head outside an abortion centre. So it wasn't about America. But how? Anyway. The thing that really got me was someone saying, "No, you use your platform for this, not for that. You are not allowed to speak on this. You should speak on free speech." It's like, wait, so
Hang on a minute.
yeah, do you understand what free speech means? Because I'm actively arguing against it. But then this whole argument that I should not be able to speak on abortion because I'm a man really, really gets on my nerves. Because we need more men to speak up for the lives of the babies that they are creating. It is the men and the women together that are creating these babies, and then the women are going and killing them. What are the men doing about it? Where's the men should be responsible. If a man gets a woman pregnant, he is responsible for that baby. So it's 50-50. It's on both of them. So yes, men should stand up more. And to say that there's a political debate where half of the population are not allowed a voice is absolutely undemocratic. It's ridiculous. But of course, the reason they don't want us to speak on it is because they don't want us to shame them. And having the conversation shames them. Like you said, when you know someone's had them, because they are ashamed of it. And they should be ashamed of it. But the truth of the faith is that it's never too late for them to say sorry. It's never too late to repent. God forgives you, even for that grave evil. He forgives you when you repent.
Yeah, well, it's that story of David, and what was the name of his best mate whose wife he nicked?
whose wife nicked who?
Da King David,
The
not
king.
yeah,
Yeah, that.
Uriah.
Yeah. So
He nicked
he.
Uriah's wife, and then he had a baby with them, and the baby died. And it's kind of an interesting. It was like, you're going to be punished for this, but I still love you and I forgive you. It's that's not to say, like, we're wandering through life, and this is what I find so disheartening. We're wandering through life thinking that this sort of feeble normality where everything is acceptable is in somehow progressive. It's not. And you learn from building a fence with crappy little hands like mine, you know, you learn it. A, it's not easy. And show me a child who could, who, I mean, I was lucky when I was a kid. I grew up, as you did, you know, pre-iPhone. Well, actually, you probably didn't grow up pre-iPhone, but I grew up pre-smartphone-y stuff. So I did entertain myself by building things. And in lockdown, I built a lot of things because I just couldn't cope mentally with these strictures. But this idea that this feeble, subservient easiness is in any way progressive or good for one's well-being is awful. And I tweet... Sorry, you go.
People have been deceived. The number one reply I get on this is, I agree with you on so much. I agree with you on everything, but not this. But the truth of the matter is, this is the only thing that's important. This is life and death. This is trusting in God and his good order or going against it with evil. People have been deceived. They won't even address abortion. And they think they are. Even the people that think they're arguing with us, they're not. They're saying, you're talking about a woman's right. It's bodily autonomy. It's a woman's body. But they will not address the baby. This is about whether people, whether adults have a right to kill the baby before it is born or not. That is what the abortion debate is about. It's not about women's autonomy, not about reproductive health care, not about a right. Where does this right come from? The right to kill your child. It's not a right. It's not from the UN. It's not from the EU. It's certainly not from the Bible. It's not a human right to kill your own offspring. And that's what we're talking about. Let's talk about abortion. Let's stop pretending it's a feminist issue, it's a women's rights issue, or human rights issue. Stop lying because you have been lied to. Address the truth.
And what's difficult about it is if you don't start dealing with the fundamental truths, it has ripples that go throughout society. So one of the things that I struggle with abortion are cases of incest and rape. You know, those outlying examples which account for 0.01% of all pregnancies. I still go, it's not the baby's fault.
No. Just to be fair, I think it's incest is 0.5% and rape is 1% of all abortions. But there was, what, 1.5 million abortions in America last year, half a million or what was it, quarter of a million abortions in the UK last year. There are hundreds of thousands of abortions going on all the time, and none of them, or next to none of them, are down to incest or rape. And people use these extremities for the argument. But the question then is, would you exclude abortion to just those instances? Of course they wouldn't, because they want to kill their babies. They want the ability to kill their babies. It's nothing to do with rape, for instance.
They want to replace God with themselves, which I get, which is the leftist mentality, which is that they just hate life. They hate meaning. Yeah. But the problem is how it seeps out into society. So you then get this idea that, you know, children in themselves are not innocent and in need of protection. Therefore, let's teach them about sex when they're really young. Let's corrupt that. So you dissolve and ignore and totally dissemble the idea of innocence, which children are innocent, you know. But you'll have a very, very pernicious family court system, because you do have one of those, that says, you know, look after children, children's best interest, let's drug the child. Or we'll look after children's best interest, can't see his mother or father. It's like, and then you go to school and it's like, oh, we've got to look after children's best interest with safeguarding. So what we're going to do is what they're doing in America, which is saying we're going to sign a bill, which is going to mean that if you don't want to chop your children's dick off, we're going to stop you from being a parent to that child.
It's the enemy, because innocence is important to our faith. Jesus told us we are to become like children in our faith. And he also said, do not stop the children from getting to him. He tells us, do not harm the children. A lot of his language is about innocence, about children, about being childlike. And so if the enemy obfuscates that and says, well, what is innocence? Who is innocent? What is a child? Who is a child? And that all becomes blurry. Then how do we get to Christ? How do we follow his instructions? It becomes difficult.
And people will disagree with us on this, which is...
That's fine, but they'll be wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, they will.
It's the only thing that matters. Having faith in God,
because
following his order,
and
protecting innocent vulnerable lives.
Yeah, because if you don't, it's not a compromised relationship. And every single law and value that used to sustain and uphold society is being dispensed with on the altar of these tiny little giveaways. Not abortion, not a tiny little giveaway. But if you give away the fundamentals, the sanctity of life, you give away everything else at the same time.
And what I would love is if part of the education system we actually taught what abortion is. So most of the people who are pro-abortion, or they'll call themselves pro-life, but in fact they're for abortion. Most of these people would not address how it's done. So they wouldn't address the fact.
Pro-choice, you mean pro-choice?
Sorry, pro-choice people are actually pro-abortion, is what I meant to say.
Yeah.
They will not address what's actually going on. The fact that the baby is starved or poisoned, or its heart is stopped, or they literally get forceps up there and chop the limbs of the baby off and vacuum it out. They won't address all that. They'll have cognitive dissonance, and or they'll just ignore it because they don't want to face the truth. We need to teach people what abortion actually is, and then say, are you sure you want people to be able to do this?
It's terrifying that it's that you know the opening salvos of this socialist government are over things like abortion. They're over things like free speech, and they're over things like faith. You know, I'm very, very worried about this new term. I can't remember the. You'll know better than I am. This, you know, this new definition of Islamophobia that they want to bring into law. As well. I mean, that's really, really worrying.
Muslimness. Anyone who doesn't like Muslimness. I don't like Muslimness.
Yeah, what are you going to so do about it? You're a criminal now.
Thank God I'm not in that country anymore.
It's difficult because they go, they make you defend the position which you should be very solid in. Mm. You know, we should be very solid in the our belief that... We believe in free speech. We believe we're fallen. All Christian law is innocent till proven guilty, which is a fallen view. And then, okay, let's go on because we've got to do it. Hugh fucking Edwards.
Yeah, just shows the state of the judicial system, doesn't it? And the fact that the paedophiles are continuously let off, yet people are sent to jail for years for tweets and Facebook comments.
I am
two-tiered system.
Yeah, and it's that I tweeted that as well, that leftist thing of going, if they say it's not happening, it is happening. And if they say it is happening, it definitely isn't. And you know, you've got the foreign secretary talking about climate change. It's like there's a war in Ukraine where entire generations of people are being massacred and murdered, and you're just going, can we send some more Spitfire missiles or something? It's like, no, stop the war, stop the murder, stop the killing. Don't sit on your fat little ass and talk about how we can make, you know, more Ukrainian people die so that we can money launder all of our old weapons. I'm so sick of it. And then you've got Yvette Cooper talking about rights, health care, and I'm just like, fuck off, Yvette Cooper. Actually, and then no Ofcom investigation into Yvette Cooper being interviewed by her husband. You know, none of it. And you know, you have always expressed this in a much more less frustrated way than I do, that you know, the UK just doesn't have any fight in it. And then this one thing that we believed in, well, I didn't at all, that the one thing that the most huge portion of the public believed in was there needed to be change in the uni party, and they voted in a dictator, essentially, benign or not. And I think we were in much worse trouble than if reform didn't exist.
Possibly. I saw a video by a chap, what was his name? Ollie Dobson, who just really went into how the UK's biggest problem is apathy.
I saw that. You said it, this guy. He was very good, that guy, I thought.
He was very good. Just got his finger on the pulse. And it's like, we identify the problems. We moan about the problems, and then we moan about the people moaning about the problems. And that's about as far as we get. We moan, and then we moan about moaning. The moment someone tries to put something into action, we drag them down. We don't like to see it, and we are just apathetic about everything that's going on. It was a great shame to see, but that's how I see the UK at the moment. We've got to shake that apathy. We've got to get out of that and push through it.
Well, perhaps that's because we don't remember that as part of this leisured, pathetic society, we don't remember what courage is. So when I had an argument in the Loz Can't Leave WhatsApp group, where one of the members was defending Farage and saying that it's great, we've got an empowerment, it doesn't matter, you know, it's good that we got one on our side. And I think, not on your side. What you've done is and also to stand against good conservatives is you've denied constituency. You've given Labour what they feel like is a landslide majority, which it wasn't, because they weren't voted into a landslide majority. So We're in, I think we're in a much worse place than we would be in if reform didn't exist. That's what I think.
I'm not
And
sure.
I mean, look, I hope the Conservatives are going to wake up. But, I mean, anyone who's contemplating putting Tom Tugendhat in charge of a main oppositional, you know, right-leaning political party is an absolute moron. I mean, I'm sorry.
I wouldn't vote for any of those current potential leaders. I wouldn't vote for any of them. So what do we do? This is the problem. Like, the Conservative are Conservative, Reform are Conservative, Labour are far left. What do we do?
Well, I think it leaves it to the movement. That's what I think. I think.
But what does the movement do? I mean, these rallies are great, but then people come to the rally, and then what? What?
Well, I think what one does is you have to do it in a very English way, and you have to say, you know, by attending, I am saying I'm putting the middle finger up, and I think we provide them with, you know, oh, hang on, perhaps a Alvin Robinson mug. This is a defunct one because it doesn't work properly, as you can see. Got a little line downside. But anyway, back to the drawing board. And I think you provide, people need, you know, these movements begin where people have a demonstrative way of showing that they're not content.
Yep.
And I think that's really stage one. You know, we've got all the pledges, we worked very hard on all that sort of stuff, and I know, one of the things we don't celebrate in this country anymore is courage. And I'm like, where is the applause for courage? For, you know, you can hate Tommy Robinson, you know, everything he stands for. I don't care. But you cannot tell me the man is not courageous.
Yeah.
And I've had right-wing, very, very famous right-wing, so-called right-wing journalists tell me that he's a grifter and a coward.
People don't want to see courageous people because it shames them. But, you know, Tommy's very life shames people who are not doing anything.
Ah, interesting. Okay, that's interesting. So that, again, comes back to the Christian thing, which is like, you know, by your fruits you shall know them. It's by their fruits you shall know them. I mean, it's beyond. Anyway, I don't want to be... I hate that Fox and Farley gets depressing about these sorts of things because, you know, you're meant to nurture me in the ways of righteousness, and well, you're just going, no, shit, mate.
No, the UK is genuinely lost. I don't see a way out, which is why one of the reasons I don't see a way for the UK out yet. Doesn't mean it's lost forever. However, America still has a chance, and a lot lies on this election. If Donald Trump gets in, we're good. If Kamala Harris gets in, the US is going the same way as the UK, and then pretty much the whole West is lost. So it's kind of make or break time here, and they are doing everything they can to stop Donald Trump getting in. There's been another attempted assassination. They want to take him out. They do not want him because, of course, he's not part of the establishment. I think it would drain the swamp. And that's
I watched him on Greg Gutfeld.
Oh yeah, my friend was just telling me about Gutfeld.
And he was really, like, you know, for a presidential nominee to go on a talk show host where people are going to rip the piss out of him, it shows kind of guts. And he's such a human. Like, you can hate him for his tweeting. You can hate him for everything that he does. You can, all of that stuff you can hate him for. But the guy, when you see him, I know he'd be a nice guy. I know I'd have a lovely dinner with him. He's been nice to me. He's written to me personally. Yeah. You know, he took time out of his day to write to me personally. And, you know, because I said that he was a good president, and he understands the value of deterrence, which is what has kept the West upright since World War II.
Yeah.
Which was the idea that if you mess with us, we are going to mess with you in a major way.
Absolutely.
And I mean, I suppose you could push back. Someone could argue with me, well, then why don't you support the Ukraine war? And I go, because, you know, we created it.
Ukraine. But the thing with the American politics is that people aren't, again, similar to the UK with the abortion situation, people aren't willing to face the issue. So they'd rather look at anything else. So people say, I support Kamala Harris. They say, well, why? Which policy of hers? They don't have any policies. They like her because she's a woman and she's black, right? I don't like Donald Trump. Why? Which policies of his did you not like? Again, no response. It's just because he's brash and his character rubs them up the wrong way. They have become so superficial. They're not willing to look at who's going to make your country a better place. Who's going to be a tyrant and take away your free speech and your guns? Well, it's quite clear which is which.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. And I 100% agree with you that we shouldn't agree on things. I should argue with you, but I agree with you that if Trump doesn't get in, that's it.
That's it.
I mean, is it where's the, and where's the movement in this country? It's like, on a personal level, I am dog food to the establishment and all that, and so are you. You're some crazy, real vicar, all that stuff, and I'm just like some racist scumbag. And the establishment are very good at picking out the threats and neutering them. So if there isn't a Trump landslide, I mean, there's some encouraging stuff coming from the the polling, the
College, yeah.
judge. Yeah, so that is good, but I just don't think they're going to give up power anyway, and that's that concerns me as well, because you've denied an election. I do think the election was not, well, I mean, it's provably rigged, in an oblique way, through what Zuckerberg did and through
Experience.
what Jack Dorsey did in terms of Hunter Biden's laptop. I mean, it's provably rigged, or adjusted, for want of a better word. And now that there's been three assassination attempts, they're turning around saying that Trump, it's Trump's fault that people want to kill him, which is a very leftist mentality, isn't it? Say, oh, the reason why we want to kill you is because you're an asshole. It's like, no, we shouldn't kill anybody.
You guys are the
Like,
bad guys for trying to kill him. He's not the bad guy.
it's just the worst.
Extremely.
Have you followed any of the P. Diddy stuff?
Yeah, that's been insane. I didn't realize how dark that industry was. Horrible.
Really? I was in it for years.
So first of all, it turns out that P. Diddy's gay, and that they're all gay, and that they compromise each other in order to extort each other and have control over each other, and it's just all corrupt and degenerate and deported. There's murders covered up and police bribes and all kinds. It's horrible. Horrible story. But the question is, why are they getting rid of P. Diddy and why not?
He recorded it, and I know, I think I've alluded to this before, but I know people that have recorded have cameras all over the house and encourage huge amounts of debauchery, to the point where I've been to parties where people have handed out back little bags of drugs back in the days when I did drugs, which was not fun. And you'd get given a little bag of drugs by someone in the security team. And there was like a bit of coke in there, a bit of MDMA in there, a bit of other stuff in there that you don't know, something to put you to sleep at the end of it all. You no idea what it is. And the house is covered in cameras. And the great and the good of Britain's cultural elite were at every single party I went to in those situations. I mean, I sort of am almost, that's it. I'm not frightened of someone coming into my house and trying to attack me now. But I would be frightened of that sort of power, that kind of co that compromat. And I think P. Diddy's served his purpose, hasn't he? He's been used so that others can satisfy their basest desires, which we see Hugh Edwards doing, and we see that vile BBC. Actually, someone reminded me, that BBC reporter who refused to respond to that arrogant, not arrogant, that angry man who said, why are you calling it child porn? It's not porn. They're not participants. They weren't like willing people who were getting paid 5 grand a day for it. They're
Yeah, it's
children. It's
child rape.
innocence. It's child rape. Exactly. And I just think, part of me was like, when I was on lockdown marches, they would say, you've got to look into the paedophile thing. And I was like, it's a lockdown protest, man. Why are you telling me that? And I thought, you're kooks. And now I just think every single instrument and institution of the state is used to protect those that wish to deny and deprive children of the fundamental right to innocence and life. Therefore, they're Satanists at the very least. And I'm not becoming less radical. I want to become like the smiley teddy bear face of Nigel Farage right-wing politics. I want
You
to,
can't plug
but
yourself back into the matrix, Lawrence. Ignorance is not bliss.
what like the cipher? You're saying I can't get the steak. I can't get the steak and go, I know it's not real, but it tastes so good. You're telling me I can't. Okay, so where's our hope, Father?
Oh. I didn't know we had to have smoke in this.
I can't do it, mate. I'm sorry.
In this in particular, well, it's all coming out, right? So I suppose it's all being bleached in the daylight, and hopefully enough people are waking up to the fact that all this horrible stuff does go on. And it's not just in showbiz. This is British politics as well. You know, Dr. No is at the head of the Conservative Party and has been at the head of the UK government for the last 14 years, has all these sex orgy parties or whatever in order to recall people and have power over them, to compromise them. It goes on in all the power structures. And so we need to be aware of it, and we need to hold these people to account.
Is it that we need to understand what sin is again? Like, do the left think that we've got to a stage of progressivism where sin is no longer a conversation that we need to have? So it's like, have they sort of succeeded in this way of convincing us that, you know, yes, your life is miserable, and yes, you own nothing and you're happy and all this sort of stuff, but look, at least you're not, you know, being killed in a war.
Well, it's the fact that you can do anything you like now without guilt. That's a sin-free life, right? You just sin as much as you want. You don't even have to admit that it's sin, and you can live guilt-free. But of course, that doesn't work, because it will still be in your conscience. It will still be a mark on your soul. And this is why Jesus came to tell us there is an answer. Just repent and have faith in him, and then you are restored. And it is quite simple, really. But of course, the devil doesn't want us to repent. The devil doesn't want us to know what sin is, because he doesn't want us to turn away from sin and back towards Christ. He wants us for himself. And so it's a constant battle. But modern society has said, do what you please, whatever pleases you. Make a god of yourself. Eat of that fruit of the tree of knowledge and good and evil, and become like God. And that's what we continue to do as a society.
Do you think that everyone has a conscience?
Yeah, of course, everyone has a conscience.
Some
people have disorders where they're not in touch with their conscience, but we all have a conscience.
So it will be an unnatural state of being for someone to ignore their conscience.
Yeah, I mean, God provides us with lots of ways of knowing that he exists and knowing that there is a good, and tries to help order our lives towards him and towards good, and our conscience is one of those ways.
Okay, well, I mean, you know, we the good thing is that we're going to sort of document our way through it, and you know, I'm still angry with you for leaving. So, but I'm not.
Come on over. Come to the land.
I'm trying to come and then extend the trip a bit. So I can fly up and see you. I'm working on it now. It's just, you know, schedules and timetables are a nightmare.
Shall we go and eat some steak and shoot some guns and say some prayers?
No, we should go to your gym wearing dresses and go and do some stand-up wheeze in the girls' loo.
You're an idiot.
What do you mean I'm an idiot? You need to become progressive, Calv. I'm trying to help you understand. Progress is good, actually. I do like progress. Yeah, I know you don't like some of my progressive thoughts, but I have a little bit of...
It doesn't matter if I like them. It's if God likes them, that's all that matters.
I think someone said to me once that when your day of judgment is going to be a courtroom where you testify against your own conscience. So your conscience is the other side.
Well, it's
you're the prosecution of your own conscience. I don't really know, but it sort of resonated with me in a way.
It's a nice idea.
It's a what?
It's a nice idea, but the fact that we're making any
progress. It's a nice idea, little boy.
The fact that we're making any progress as a society suggests that we can make ourselves better. And of course we can't. We can't be good without him and without his help. And in fact, we started out in a perfect society in the Garden of Eden. We started out great, and we were getting progressively worse, if anything. So this idea of we'll somehow get to utopia if we continue to progress just enough, get more and more liberal, we'll get there. That's the enemy deceiving us.
That is the central argument of the Garden of Eden. Which is the, you know, the it's the way to ultimate knowledge. Wowzers. Oh, my Lord. Well, I love you, my friend. And
what are you going to do now?
I am going to go and take the stalks off some slow berries.
Oh, yes. You're making some slow gin, right?
Yeah.
We picked some slow.
Yeah, we did. My dad came down, and he was my dad got so excited. My dad is just a weird, cryogenically frozen person who is still kind of going at 85. And that bush out there is a sloe bush. But I've got it wrong already, which is you pick the sloes and you take all the leaves and stalks off, and then you freeze them. Then they, when you unfreeze them, the skin breaks.
Oh,
You put
nice.
them in. But how to make sloe gin is a 1 minute, 13-second video on YouTube, and it's 500 grams of sloes, 250 grams of caster sugar. Stick it in a thing, give it a little bit of that, and then just slowly turn it every few days until Christmas. And then at Christmas, off you go into the slow gin deep dive. I mean, because whatever's in those berries, it does something to you. So I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna put some more lights up. I've become obsessed with solar powered lights. So Ed Miliband would be a friend of mine. But they are beautiful. I mean, honestly, they're beautiful.
Where are the chicken?
The chickens are up there. Rocky the dog tried to kill one of the chickens today.
Did he?
Yeah, because I'm
Of
just
course, it
going
was
like,
Rocky of all the dogs.
he chased it into the actual chicken house. Like, Roddy. But so what I'm trying to do is I want to slowly introduce the dogs to chicken so the whole thing can be a bit harmonious. But yeah,
How many do you
one,
have?
four, and don't ask, as I said, a child who's just had a PSHE lesson to name a chicken, because it will name that chicken based around the color of that chicken.
Oh, I mean, you just
So,
need to name them. Are they, when will they start producing eggs? You've got to get cockerel.
anytime now. No, they lay eggs without a cockerel. And yeah, I wouldn't get a cockerel anyway because it's not fair on your neighbours, and they make a hell of a racket. I have on a
Your
fort.
neighbors aren't exactly close to you.
They're not, but I still think it's polite to ask. And so yeah, they're doing really well. They're nice. They come and see me in the morning. I just talk to them and call them their names.
You know what, you should also
Just.
get some rabbits because they produce a lot of meat.
Well, I tell you what, I don't need to, if I want
They
meat, all I
fertilize
need
the
is
ground as well. You want your ground fertile.
an air rifle, and that bit out there. I mean, I could have three wood pigeons in a day if I wanted. But I'm not, until it all goes to pot. I'm gonna get a chest freezer. I've got enough wood for the winter. I'm like, it's we haven't been to a supermarket, like properly done a supermarket shop, in 4 months,
Wow, it's good.
really, pretty much. It's like we just don't live like that anymore, and we only eat what we need, and our life has got very, very, very affordable as a result of that. And there's something about being connected to the place where you live, like where you build things at where you live, and you really just you hurt your hands doing things. That's, I think, probably the way out of all of this. So I don't know. I love you. I think we need to talk about gold, Calvin.
Show the clip.
Now, as we come to the end of the show, I did promise you that we had a new sponsor
Yes.
sponsoring the Fox and Father show, because apparently this company, Gold Bullion Partners, a few of our listeners have decided that while being faced with the tyranny of potential digital IDs and CBDCs and what where they can keep their money safely without it being removed from the government, they have come up with the idea of gold. Well, this is actually silver.
Well, I've got some gold.
I've got some gold too, but my gold's a little one.
Well, the problem is your money isn't yours if it's in the bank, and you can't rely on it. You can't trust the banks. So we've got to invest in assets.
No capital gains tax.
That's interesting.
No capital gains
I've
tax.
got a lot of friends who are buying gold and silver, actually.
Yeah, non-traceable. I'm buying silver because gold's a bit up there for me at the moment. I could probably get one of these, but this is legal tender.
Is it?
Yeah,
Okay.
you could.
I wouldn't want to spend it though.
No, I'm just saying.
A lot of places aren't accepting legal tender anymore, and that's part of the problem. That the more we go to a cashless society, the more the government can control everything that we do. They can see every penny we spend, they can control where we spend it. That's not a good thing.
But gold and silver are holding their values beautifully in the
Absolutely.
world. And in times of trouble, people tend to lean and go towards gold and silver. So, Gold Bullion Partners, guys, their link will be in the show notes. And if you so feel that you
Yes.
want to.
Absolutely. Do your own research, look into it.
Yeah. And we will carry on buying it ourselves, won't we?
Yeah, we will.
And to be fair, in terms of the gold thing, if cash is banned everywhere, right, and everything is digital, and then that breaks down due to a cyber attack or something, you know, so your internet stops working. But I got a train ticket today and I was trying to get the train ticket to work and my internet stopped working and I couldn't get on the train. The guy was like, where's your ticket? Where's your ticket? I'm like, no, I've got it. It's just on the internet and I can't get the internet because I'm in a, you know, bit of no reception. How are people going to trade? And I think the precious metals are the way that people are going to trade. I think that is, you know, people are going to trade silver, they're going to trade gold. They're going to trade these things, and you know, our plastic money is just plastic. It's actually literally plastic in the restaurants and shops that will still take it.
Yeah,
I'm going to come and see you, and I am sending you all my love, and I'm sorry, I'm still fucking livid that you are you're not here. But
I said to my parishioners, what should I talk to Lawrence about? They said, talk to him about coming over.
Oh, I'd love to see your parishioners. I can't wait. I can't wait. And also, especially because you're going to get the season. Just before we finish, what's the weather like?
It's 86 degrees right now.
So oh, wow.
Still warm. I can see the leaves are starting to change colour. So fall, or as we call it in the civilised world, autumn is coming.
I like fall as a term. I prefer it to autumn.
Oh, I don't, because it's like, what does fall mean? Oh, the leaves fall from the trees. It's just so... autumnal is a better word. I like that.
Oh, you're such an old fuddy-duddy loser. Anyway, man, I love you. And so good to catch up. And yeah, we'll see you next week, guys.
God bless.
God bless.